welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Jason Bach, founder and CEO of the Cell Therapy Manufacturing Center, or CTMC, a joint venture between National Resilience and MD Anderson Cancer Center that hopes to serve as an engine for advancing cell therapy therapeutics for cancer patients. Formed just over a year ago, CTMC has expanded its footprint and already worked on a handful of innovative treatments. Jason shares a bit on how this progress has gone so far and why he's bullish on Houston being a hub for the relatively young field of cell therapy manufacturing. Jason, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Natalie.
I'm excited to talk a lot about CTMC and what the organization is doing and all of the special things that you're addressing within the industry. But before we even go there, tell me a little bit about your career and how it's evolved to CTMC and what really has originally brought you into the biologics space.
Okay, fantastic. Well, let's start at the beginning. I began my training in Boston at MIT, where I studied biology and was just fascinated as we started to understand molecular biology and how that could impact human health. I went on to get my PhD at Stanford University in California, where I studied finding new genes. This is before we sequenced the whole human genome, finding new genes and then figuring out what they did, essentially. And then I graduated from Stanford just as we were learning how to try and turn these new discoveries, these new genes that we were discovering, into therapeutics. And so I began my career at a company called Human Genome Sciences. And right from the start, what attracted me to that company was taking our scientific knowledge, turning it into therapeutics that could impact patients. Spent time there. We ended up spinning off a company that again took several novel products into clinical development. And then for 10 years, and then that company was acquired by Teva Pharmaceuticals. Teva was a large pharmaceutical company interested in getting into a class of therapeutics called innovative biologics, antibody therapeutics. And for 10 years there, I built biologics development capability where we took more than 15 different products into clinical development and was fortunate enough to lead four products through to global commercialization that are targeted with peak market sales of over $3.5 billion.
Wow.
At that point, I was having a fantastic time leading a site of around 600 people. And there were some new, a new therapeutic modality was being developed and was reaching commercial approval called CAR-Ts, also cell therapies. We actually took human cells, engineered them in a certain way, infused them back into patients, and as a treatment for cancer. And I thought these were sort of really powerful new modality and was interested in exploring where potentially contribute to this field. Coincidentally, at the same time, some friends of friends had reached out from MD Anderson Cancer Center and recruited me to start a new group within MD Anderson focused on almost like a biotech within MD Anderson to work with faculty members who had interesting ideas for biologics or cell therapies, help them industrialize them, and then bring them into the MD Anderson clinic to evaluate in early stage patients. And so about 4 years ago, I moved down to Houston. This is from the East Coast. I've loved it here for the last 4 years and have been building this group to do exactly that, take interesting concepts, turn them into therapeutics and evaluate them in the clinic. We built that group within MD Anderson for about 3 years. And then about a year ago, we spun that out as a joint venture between MD Anderson and a venture-backed company called National Resilience. So that brings you up to the long winding trail that brings you up to today.
No, it's fascinating because you do have this background in bringing these therapeutics into commercialization. And gosh, that's, from my understanding, a hard task. It's not easy. Not every therapeutic gets to make it into commercialization. And I know there's a lot of challenges, and we're going to discuss some of those. But before we do, and I know a lot of listeners, our Houstonians, know the MD Anderson name very well, but tell us a little bit about National Resilience and what that company does, and bring that into what the two entities together bring to the table.
So National Resilience is a relatively young company, sort of contrasting with MD Anderson that has a storied history. National Resilience is about 2.5 years old, was founded by some visionary people during the beginning part of the pandemic, with part of the goal being to build resiliency in the nation for complex biologics manufacturing, like vaccines, as well as cell therapies. The best analogy that maybe the audience would appreciate comes from the semiconductor industry. So Taiwan Semiconductor, TSMC, is a pretty well-known company in that business. What TSMC has done over the last 2 or 3 decades is invest in the manufacturing of semiconductors, building the best equipment, the best facilities, bringing together the best talent, the best processes to produce high-quality semiconductors, complicated semiconductors, essentially better than anyone else in the world. And they don't have any products of their own, but they use these manufacturing capabilities with various partners to enable the partners to get their products to market quicker and with higher quality. Apple and everyone else, who Taiwan Semiconductor controls about, depending on how you count it, 60 to 75% of the complex semiconductor market. Basically, almost everyone partners with them. So National Resilience, same kind of concept, said, you know, a company, biologics manufacturing, it's really complicated, it's really costly, and there can be times where the industry isn't well served by the current offerings. And so can we create a company with advanced technology, the best facilities, best quality, best people, best processes, to then partner with innovator companies to develop their therapeutics and get the best possible product as quickly as we can to patients? So that's National Resilience. Everyone knows about MD Anderson as the number one cancer center, where more clinical studies are done in general than any other place. And so why did we choose these two partners? Why did we choose this construct? It's interesting. So cell therapies, at least the ones that are approved thus far, are called autologous cell therapies. What that means is they're very personalized medicines. I always almost pinch myself because this is almost like science fiction, what we do. We take out a patient's immune cells, isolate very specific cells, typically in this case, T cells, do some engineering of those cells to essentially have them be able to target cancer more effectively, expand them, and then reinfuse those to the same patient. So it's very personalized medicine. And interestingly, it's really the only one of the very rare therapeutic modalities where, if you think about it, the supply chain begins with the patient. All other medicines, like small molecules, aspirin, we take a bunch of chemicals and we manipulate them in a certain way, put them together, purify them, they form, pack them in a pill, and then send them to the pharmacy. Even biologics, we engineer some recombinant cells to produce the protein we want, purify that, and then bring that to the pharmacy, and then that goes to the patient. Only with this autologous cell therapy, do we actually start with the patient's own cells? And so it seems intuitive to me that if the patient is going to be an integral part of the supply chain, one simple way of simplifying your supply chain is locate your manufacturing very close to where your patients are. And so when I moved down to Houston and came up with this concept with MD Anderson, we wanted to create this adjacency for cell therapy development between the manufacturing and the patients. The partnership with Resilience focuses on manufacturing and the on manufacturing technology and improvements there. And then the partnership with MD Anderson is on the clinical side of bringing these therapies to patients.
I obviously talked to a lot of innovators in Houston from across industry. And obviously, most of the common factor is the scalability of their technology. And you're talking about personalized medicine that almost, like, to me sounds impossible to scale that. But that's the challenge of cell therapy, right? And that's what CTMC is addressing, right? So how are you creating this way to scale personalized medicine for patients?
Okay, well, getting right into the hard stuff. Okay, good. we like hard challenges. So yeah, scaling cell therapy is a big challenge. First, let me say, you know, is it even worth doing? Like, this sounds interesting and sort of like we talked about, very innovative. But what's remarkable about cell therapies that we, you know, this the first modality, the first commercial products only approved 5 years ago, is how transformational they can be for cancer patients. And patients who have essentially no other options are given these treatments. And it's I think what distinguishes cell therapy in terms of the outcomes is it's single dose, one dose of a patient's own cells, and offers really true potential curative potential. And so we see a large number of patients, depending on indication, 30 to 50% of patients are cured with one dose. And these cures have gone on for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. One of the most famous patients is a young lady named Emily Whitehead. She was diagnosed with a form of childhood leukemia. This is more than 10 years ago. Her parents had tried all therapies, and she was resistant to them all and relapsed from all of them. It just so happened, and this story carried out in Pennsylvania, it just so happened that at Penn, they had just opened a clinical study on a type of cell therapy called CAR-T. And her parents decided to enroll Emily, this is when she was 6 years old, in this new trial. She was the first pediatric patient enrolled. Given this, they took out her cells, engineered them, reinfused them back. She had a tremendous amount of side effects. She spiked a massive fever and actually went to almost total organ failure. Miraculously, she pulled through the therapy. And within a few months, there was no detectable cancer in Emily anymore. And I think she's now at her 11th anniversary of her treatment, and she's still cancer-free. And that little six-year-old girl is applying to colleges now. That was the only cancer treatment she was given over the last 11 years. And so that's what distinguishes it as well, that you're not getting chemotherapy every 6 weeks and feeling terrible and, you know, all your hair falling out and all the other side effects of other kinds of cancer treatments. Single dose therapy with your own cells. Okay, I just wanted to set that background because, like you said, the manufacturing, production of these and scaling of these is going to be really hard. but we're having this tremendously transformative impact on cancer patients. So it's worth figuring this hard problem out. And the short answer to the scalability problem, maybe it's not short, is it's going to take multiple contributions from many different stakeholders to overall bring down the costs, increase accessibility for patients. It's going to include novel technologies. We're going to come up with new cell therapies that are more potent, that are easier to produce, that work even better. So there's going to be new product development. There's going to be vendors that make equipment and reactors that allow us to produce these products in a more automated, faster way. There's going to be process improvements that allow us to grow the cells quicker and get them back to patients sooner. And there's going to be various, better understandings of how to administer and utilize these treatments in the clinic. So it's really going to be a multi-pronged approach that overall allows us to make the entire field more scalable and accessible to patients to get these transformative therapies. Our goal with CTMC is basically to provide a conduit for innovative therapies, novel therapies, cutting edge technology and equipment, to get to patients to run advanced trials as quickly and as seamlessly with as least risk to execution as we can. So that's our role in the ecosystem.
So I guess zeroing in on that goal, what have you been able to accomplish? So launched last summer, I believe. So what's the process on that goal? What have you been able to do? What's the structure of CTMC on moving the needle on this?
So we were originally created with the goal of working with MD Anderson faculty to take their interesting ideas, turn them into industrial therapeutics, manufacture those, go through all the FDA interactions to allow us to start the clinical trials, and then bring those into clinical trials at MD Anderson. And so we've done that with a number of MD Anderson invented therapies, and those clinical studies are ongoing. In addition, an aspect that we didn't think about at first, but has become a great vehicle, is partnering with early stage biotech companies who can have great technology, but accessing infrastructure to run these kind of advanced manufacturing and clinical trials can be really challenging for them. And so we've had great success partnering with early stage biotech companies to help them get their product to patients and evaluate that as quickly as we can. And so we've signed a number of those partnerships. Some we've announced publicly, the first of which was a partnership with Obsidian Therapeutics based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who has a particular technology that can regulate, basically turn on and off cytokine expression that can basically activate these cell therapies in the body or turn them off. And so we worked with them very closely over the last several years, and their product is in clinical testing in cancer patients right now at MD Anderson. So in the last year, we've taken 5 novel cell therapies into clinical testing at MD Anderson, 3 in the last 6 months.
So something that I'm wondering, because this it is a different way of taking these ideas from an institution and kind of rolling them out into clinical trials. Prior to CTMC's model, what did that process look like, and what were the challenges that now you've avoided with this model?
Yeah, no, that's great. I think for me, it was important that if I was going to, pick up my family, move to Houston, if we were going to bring, 2 amazing institutions together to do something, let's do something very significant and very impactful and very differentiated. So we didn't want to just do something that was, let's do something just like other people do. And so we were very thoughtful about how to put something together to enable things to happen in a better way, at least in a different way, but in a better way than the industry was currently served. So there were a couple different ways that typically the industry does these kind of things. One, you're a biotech company who has an interesting therapy. You do your research. It works well in mice. Now you say, I'm ready to bring this into the clinic. So you build up all these capabilities with internal infrastructure. You hire people who can develop a process. You hire people who can develop the assays for that process. You hire people who understand FDA interactions. You hire people who can develop clinical studies for you. Then either internally you build facilities to manufacture these products in a very controlled and refined FDA regulated way, or you contract with a particular organization to do the manufacturing for you. And then you contract with another organization to hire clinical sites to work with you. And you build this whole network yourself. That's how classic drug development, therapeutics development is carried out. And it can be very, I think for small molecules and even for antibodies, where how to produce these is relatively mature and understood, well controlled, these kind of setups work quite well. But for cell therapy, where, as we started the conversation about, the supply chain is different, where it begins with the patient, the cells can be very sensitive to processing. The shipping cells all across the country can be challenging across different clinical sites. And so I saw a lot of companies struggling with how to transition from this research stage into being a clinical development organization. And at the same time, we had set up within MD Anderson this biotech within MD Anderson that was doing all of these things. And so we already had all these capabilities. And then spinning this out and making it more accessible to private biotech allowed them to better access these capabilities that we had produced in a fairly unique way, because we were associated with MD Anderson and its really unique scale in terms of the number of patients and access to those patients on clinical trials.
I mean, it does seem like a good model to have the idea that's originating out of MD Anderson, have someone pick up the process to then bring it back into MD Anderson and then to patients down the road. So that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
I know you explained the strategy behind being very nearby to the hospitals for the treatment. That's important. But tell me a little bit about the space you have developed for CTMC. What capacity does it have? What does it look like?
Yeah. So a real catalyst for accelerating what we wanted to do happened 6 months after I moved down to Houston. A company called Bellicum Pharmaceuticals was at a stage where they had built cell therapy development and manufacturing. They were one of these biotech companies, as we described, that built all this internal capabilities to develop their own products. And were, quite active in bringing products into clinical development and manufacturing them themselves in their own facility. They were at a stage where they were interested, though, in divesting the facility and moving to more of a virtual setup where someone else would do the manufacturing for them. And so we were in a position of, hey, that would be a fantastic facility for us. It's located just in the Texas Medical Center, two blocks away from MD Anderson. And so we acquired the Bellicum cell therapy development and manufacturing facility, 60,000 square feet, which is a a very good size for cell therapy manufacturing. It's equivalent to the size that most, let's say, pharmaceutical companies build to develop their diverse pipeline of cell therapies. We have 14 clean rooms, as well as development lab space, enough space to seat probably about 140 people. Currently, we're at about 80. So we've grown from one person in to 80 in about 3 years, which is pretty good. And we've built an amazing team in a fantastic facility. But now, Natalie, to sort of answer your question, you know, so Bellicum had built this facility with 14 clean rooms, and for their needs, you know, you have to sort of build things anticipating the future. But at the time, they were using 1 to 1.5 of those clean rooms. And so now, you flash forward 3 years after we acquired the facility, we're now actively using 10 out of those clean rooms and have just finished the a little bit of construction work to enable the last 4 clean rooms to come online. We had a ribbon cutting here about a month ago, and we'll soon be able to put those 4 last clean rooms into utilization. And just from the nature of our business in between the MD Anderson projects and the biotech partner projects, we're best able to utilize the full capacity of this facility.
Well, that's amazing that you were able to take over that space. I know from some other health tech innovators and in this space, lab space is not super common in Houston, and it's hard to, like you said, plan for that growth in an already competitive market to get that space. So I'm glad that wasn't a problem and didn't hinder any of your growth, because yeah, that's 80 people in a couple of years. That's incredible. And kind of segues into my next question about the Houston element of it. You know, what is Houston's role in this industry of cell therapy manufacturing? I know we have the Texas Medical Center. We've got tons of really smart people across institutions. There's hiring opportunities, clinical trial opportunities. How do you see Houston playing into the success of CTMC?
Yeah, it's essential. And that's, you know, why I came down here. If you think about it in this way, which maybe is a little different way of thinking about, one of the big resources that Houston and especially the TMC has is patients. This is one of the highest densities of patients anywhere in the world because of all the amazing medical institutions located right in the same place. And with cell therapy being a therapeutic modality where patients are the required input for the beginning of the supply chain, it makes sense to co-localize your manufacturing close to that. And we're not the only ones who have had this thought. Lonza, one of the largest contract manufacturer organizations in the world, has built a very large facility. At one point, it was the largest, and may still be, one of the largest cell and gene therapy facilities in the world in Pearland, Texas, employing over 1,000 people. Cellapont just announced another CMO that they are building a new facility in the Woodlands. And I think that cell therapy, and specifically cell therapy manufacturing, Houston has a chance to play an outsized role in that because it makes access to patients much easier, as well as just as a central supply point for all of the country, right there in the middle. So there's some inherent advantages that Houston has that no other place in the country has that give us advantages in being able to simplify the treatment of patients with cell therapies.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But I think something that's part of Houston's, at least healthcare innovation history, has been that there's the idea and then there's the institutions deploying that idea way down the road, but there's not been a lot of activity in between of bringing those technologies, those treatments through the commercialization and development phases. Has that changed, or is that maybe specifically this cell therapy industry where that's happening more and more?
Yeah, I think Houston has a chance to play a role in all aspects of cell therapy, both from the discovery of them, some of really interesting cell therapies that are currently in development were discovered right here in Houston, whether it was the CAR NK platform by Katie Rizvani, or various new ideas that came out of Baylor College of Medicine. Houston has been at the discovery stage of a lot of these. I think, in addition, on the clinical development side, these clinical trials are very complicated to run. It requires a lot of sophistication because, as powerful as these therapies are in eradicating cancer, they can be very toxic as well. And so you need highly skilled clinicians able to determine the sort of how to administer these to patients, how to manage their side effects, trying to blunt the adverse events and allow the therapeutic activity to come through. And I've seen and been amazed at some of the MD Anderson clinicians' ability to walk that line in early clinical development, as then as well to recruit sufficient numbers of the right types of patients to evaluate these therapies as robustly as you can. So I think there's that clinical development component. So there's the research that we talked about, there's the clinical development, and then there's the manufacturing capacity, which seems to be flowing into Houston. So I think all those elements are here, and probably in more density than I think anywhere else. And so I think this has a chance to really be a leverage point for Houston over the next 5, 10, 15 years to look back on this moment and say that, like, as cell therapies were transforming medicine, they could transform the Houston biotech ecosystem as well. But I would say we have to be, I've been on a little bit of a mission on this, we have to be very aggressive in working to that. It's not just us in the biotech community. It's not just going to happen. We have to be very aggressive. You know, everyone in biotech knows that cell therapies are transformative. And other geographies very actively, you know, pursuing this as the next big thing for themselves, whether it's outside Philadelphia or North Carolina or Boston, Cambridge, California. Everyone wants to be there. I think we have some inherent advantages in Houston, and I'm really excited to not only for CTMC, but to partner with Houston partners to really have this be a springboard for the Houston biotech community.
What's the role of the bigger pharmaceutical industry in this development? Because, yeah, like you said, it seems like a lot of Hub's eyes are on this type of technology. What does Big Pharma say about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see. Some big pharmas have jumped in both feet. BMS has jumped in. J&J recently got a therapy approved as a partnered project with Legend Pharmaceuticals. You know, Gilead acquired Kite about 5 years ago, and Kite is one of the largest producers of cell therapies. But I think it's tricky for big pharma because it's a different kind of modality. They can't use the same facilities that they have to produce other modalities. And so I think they're still trying to figure out how to approach cell therapy. So I think that what that leaves, though, is a tremendous amount of open landscape for innovation to come up with novel ways of producing this. And I think what we've seen is Big Pharma wants, they need sort of custom built solutions. They're probably not going to be able to build out all of this on their own, but they would be interested in you know, acquiring comprehensive solutions to this. So I think that'll be a chapter a few down the road as innovators figure out exactly what we were talking about, how to scale cell therapies and increase access. And then I would imagine that Big Pharma will like buy into those solutions rather than be at the forefront of driving innovation in this field.
I guess speaking of the future, and just to wrap up, when you think of the future of CTMC, I mean, you've already kind of addressed the milestones you've already hit in this past year of the joint venture, the last few years of MD Anderson's work creating this entity. What does the future of CTMC look like a few years down the road, maybe even bigger picture, longer pathway? What do you think the future of the organization is?
So I'll answer that in two ways. The first is what you can clearly see. We've built this really fantastic engine for accelerating cell therapies, moving from research into the clinic. It takes us about a year to 2 years to take a product from that research into the clinic. So we've been investing a lot of the time in that sort of assembly line. And now every year we should get 3 to 4, maybe 5 new therapies into the clinic. And then evaluate it. What I'll be really excited about over the next year or two is as we enroll more and more patients in these innovative clinical studies to see the efficacy, to see which of these therapies really can impact the field of oncology and treating more and more patients. So I think that's very clearly laid out in front of us, and we'll be excited. The team is like laser focused on that execution of bringing more and more impactful therapies to patients and seeing the clinical results. The second thing I would say is I want to be humble as well, that I think the most interesting thing we do in the next 2 to 3 years is the thing that we haven't thought of yet. All along this way, what I've been amazed at, really in my time in Houston, is such a fertile landscape for innovation that, you know, when I came, I didn't have a 4-year plan that I'm like, oh, we're going to build this organization, we're going to buy this facility from a biotech company, then we're going to spin off and form a joint venture. But as we tackled each, as we got exposed to each opportunity and jumped on that and made most out of that opportunity, then I was just blown away by other opportunities that became available to make it even better, to take it up another level. And so I continue to keep my eyes very widely open, looking for next big opportunities. Such a young field, just at the beginning of an inflection point of its impact to patients. And so I want us to be very open to an innovation that is going to be the most interesting thing that I'll hopefully come back and talk to you about in the future.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, I think if you couldn't tell from all my questions, I'm very interested in this field. It does sound like science fiction in some ways, and it's really cool that it's happening in Houston, just down the road from all of us listeners and Houstonians. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise on the field and sharing a little bit about CTMC and the impact y'all are really hoping to make on patients and cell therapy in general. So appreciate your time today.
I really enjoyed the conversation, Natalie. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.